2 Samuel chapter 17. We're continuing our series from the book of 2 Samuel, and today we'll be looking briefly at this chapter. You know, when you take one chapter at a time, it's difficult to get all the details, but hopefully I'll hit enough highlights for you that you'll be encouraged, maybe give you some, other things to study out, whether it's in this chapter or in other areas of the Bible. But the title of this chapter is Absalom's Pursuit of David. Absalom's Pursuit of David. Just to catch us up from last week, these two chapters run together. Basically, what's been happening in Israel, David's been the king of Israel. God has called him, anointed him. And then things transpired eventually that Absalom, his son, Bible tells us was a very wicked man, ungodly man. Actually, we see in the Bible, sadly, David never seemed to really check him or discipline him, and he just went and did his own thing to the point where we saw last week where he began to deceive the people and actually took the throne from David. The Bible tells us he stole the hearts of the men of Israel, and then he rebelled against David, took the throne. And now in this chapter, or at the end of last week, we saw where David was departing from Jerusalem, going out into the wilderness. And that's kind of where this chapter picks up. And so we're going to look at 2 Samuel 17, and this is Absalom's pursuit of David. Beginning in verse 1, it says, "Moreover, Ahithophel," now this is, Ahithophel is one of David's counselors that kind of betrayed David and went with Absalom. "Ahithophel said unto Absalom, let me now choose out 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue after David this night. I will come upon him while he is weary and weak-handed, and will make him afraid, and all the people that are with him shall flee, and I will smite the king only. And I will bring back all the people unto thee. The man whom thou seekest is as if all returned, so all the people shall be in peace." And the saying pleased Absalom well, it says, and all the elders of Israel. So this morning we're going to get started right there, and we're going to run through this chapter rapidly. We only have about a half hour to get through it, so we're going to go through it rapidly. And if you are interested in more details, we do provide our outline notes or our Bible study online if you want more information on this chapter as far as your own personal study. But as we get into this chapter, what I want to draw your attention to first this morning is we're going to see Absalom seek some counsel, some advice from two different men. The first one is this one we've just read about, Ahithophel. And then here in a minute, he's going to seek some advice from one of David's friends, Hushai. And we're going to talk about the advice, and we're going to talk about the confusion, really, that came upon Absalom. You know, as we go into this chapter, I want to first say, you know, the Old Testament is very practical. You know, some people don't read the Old Testament today. Some people are discouraged from reading the Old Testament. I think that's a mistake. I believe there are many teachings in the New Testament that have their root in the Old Testament. If we didn't know the Old Testament, we wouldn't see that. Also, the Old Testament is filled with practical advice. We see examples of people living life, and we see that here with David. And we may not actually face the same troubles or trials, but we can learn from how they handled different situations. And so this morning, there's going to be a lot of practical here. I hope it'll encourage you. Also, I want to just make one comment. You know, as we go through the Bible, the Bible's truth is what it is. What I mean by that is there is a line of truth to the Bible. No matter what book you read, Genesis, Exodus, any of the Gospels, or even the Revelation, there is truth there. There is one, thought of truth. I heard one man say that when you read the Bible, you know, we can both be right or we can both be wrong, but one can't be, I'm going to tongue-tie this. Let me just forget that point, and we'll move on. I'm going to confuse myself on that. I have to read that again. Anyway, what it amounts to, there's one line of truth in the Bible. We need to find that. What I mean by that is God has given truth. It's not up to us to go to the Word of God and say, well, I think it means this. It's up to us to go there and through investigation, through study, through prayer, look and say, this is what God is saying. This is what has happened. Now, the reason I want to say that is because as we go through not only this chapter, but as we went through this book, there have been times where, as a pastor, I'll say, you know, it could be this or it could be that. I want to make it clear, I'm not giving the impression that there are two different options there. What I'm actually saying, or what I hope comes across, is that there's one line of truth, but I don't understand or know the line of truth that's there. What I mean by that is there may be a situation where you look and the Bible doesn't give us the details and we have to say, you know, this is what could have happened or it could be this, That's in God's hands. He knows exactly what happened. There's a truth there. We just don't have the information to say, I know this would happen. And by the way, any man who goes to the Bible and tells you they know everything, be careful of those people. Those are the ones you watch out for. Because the Bible is filled with knowledge that the more we study, I think the more we realize, the less we know about God and His Word. Anyway, we're going to look at this chapter here. We're going to talk about Ahithophel and Hushai to begin with. And this counsel that Absalom received from these men. Here's the first one. Ahithophel basically told Absalom, let's get going. David is running, he's retreating. The people are weary, they're tired, they're discouraged. Let's take this opportunity to attack David, destroy his forces. Now basically Ahithophel wasn't going to destroy his forces. Ahithophel believed he could go and just destroy David, and then the rest of the people would follow. Now, he was a wise counselor. You know, you finish that. We go back, actually go back to the last chapter. If you have your Bibles still, 2 Samuel 16. Notice as it says in verse 1, it says in, or verse 23, excuse me, the last verse. And the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. So all was the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. In other words, the people looked upon his counsel with great respect, because he was a very wise man and an intelligent man. He just didn't have knowledge, but he had the ability to use that knowledge as far as counseling and making decisions. And he was a smart man, as the scriptures tell us. So Absalom has now taken the throne. And you know what we find from this young man, this young rebellious ruler? I think he knew how to steal a throne, but he didn't know how to lead a nation. And that's what we find here. He quickly took the throne. He deceived, stole the hearts of the people. And now that he has power and he has to make some decisions, he didn't know what to do with it. Sadly, that happens even in our world today. Leaders are able to win an election, but they don't know what to do once they get there. And that sometimes creates problems. That's what happened here. He didn't know what to do, so he began to seek counsel. Now, there's nothing wrong with seeking counsel. Actually, I think that's commendable. The Bible actually challenges us to seek counsel. You know, in the Proverbs, we find it mentioned several times. You know, seeking counsel, the advice of others, how that can challenge us and teach us. So there's nothing wrong with him seeking counsel. I want to draw your attention to the fact, nowhere do we read Absalom ever sought the Lord's counsel. You know, he wasn't a godly man. That's the problem. You know, he wanted to do what he wanted to do. He had a desire or a goal, and he didn't care what God thought. He didn't care about God's plan. And that's what got him here in the first place. But that's what's going to get him into more trouble. And so he begins by calling in this wise counselor who had basically betrayed David and had joined his side. And Ahithophel offers his decision or his advice. Notice what he says, and we've read it there. First he says, give me 12,000 men. You know, he said, he doesn't need the whole army. He said, just give me 12,000 men. I'll make this attack quickly. And then he says, notice he says, and we'll make him afraid, and all the people that are with him shall flee, and I will smite the king only. You see, Ahithophel wanted to get out there and make a quick attack. Also notice, though, it was a very selfish plan. And that may have been the problem with Ahithophel's plan and Absalom. You know, if you ever get two people that are the same, they butt heads sometimes. Ahithophel says, give me these men. I will make this attack. I will conquer David. I will bring the people back. In other words, Absalom, you just sit there and don't do anything about this. This wise man, basically, this counselor, was asking to also be the commanding general. I don't know if Absalom thought maybe he was just trying to get more power, but at first it seemed like a good idea, and all the people bought into it, all the elders did, thought, hey, this is good. Even though it's a selfish attack, it made some sense. It would take David by surprise and maybe end the, you know, I guess you said the battle quickly. Also, he planned to retrieve the people. Now, there is one problem I'll give to you on this, and this is my opinion. I'll share that with you. I don't think it would have worked out quite as easily as he thought. What I mean by that is David had some tough men, as we'll see in the next chapter next week. Men that were veterans, that were tough, and Hushai is going to talk about that here in a minute. I don't think it would have been just David, I guess you say, being killed. I imagine it would have been a big fight. And so I don't think Ahithophel really understood everything as well as he thought he did. But here's before we move on, here's the thought. The counsel really was good. I've read several military historians have looked at this and said it was a good idea. It probably would have worked had Absalom decided, and they would have went with this rapidly. We do know David was discouraged. We know he was retreating without organizing his forces. He was in trouble. And this was actually probably some good counsel. Well, Absalom, I guess you say not pleased, or I don't know why. The Bible, you know, earlier I told you that there are sections we just don't know. This is one of them. I don't know why Absalom looked for more advice. I'll give you some thoughts that I have of maybe why. First, maybe he did this to confirm. Have you ever done that where you've had, you kind of knew what you wanted to do, or you had a good idea and you thought, well, let me ask someone. If they give me that, then it confirms that this is right. Now, that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. And maybe that's why he did it. Maybe he wanted to confirm that this was some good counsel. Also, here's another thought. Maybe it was insecurity. Like I said, he wasn't a good leader. He wasn't experienced. And maybe he just wasn't sure this was a good idea. And so he just kind of hesitated and sought other advice. I think, more than anything else, the Lord allowed him to be confused. You know, we're going to see here in a minute that the Lord allowed Hushai's advice to be taken so that he could judge Absalom. You see, the Lord is working even if we don't see him working. God is in control and God works behind the scenes. And that's really what was happening here. So he called Hushai. And you know what is good about Hushai? Here's what we can learn from Hushai. He was ready. He was prepared with an answer. How many of you have been taken off guard before? I'll admit it. There have been times as a Christian, you know, I know we're to be ready to be a witness. There have been times I've been out, I've been so focused on my problems. The Lord opens the door to witness and I'm stuttering and don't even know what to say. Unprepared, not looking for an opportunity. Hushai was prepared for this. You know, as believers, we need to be prepared to serve God. As witnesses, you know, that's our responsibility as believers, is to take the gospel out. And then that could be at work, that could be with your family, that could be in your neighborhood. And I don't, you know, the Bible doesn't teach that we're rude with it or we force it upon anybody. But we look for opportunities. And if God opens up a door, we're ready to give an answer. And we're prepared. And that's what Hushai was. He was ready when called upon. And so he gets his opportunity. He hops in there. Kind of reminds me of an athlete. You know, they tell athletes, you know, football players, basketball players, especially if they're not starting, they say, be ready. You might get your opportunity. You might get your chance. Well, he was going to get his chance. And anyway, he was invited in. And Absalom asked for his counsel. And basically, it was opposite of Ahithophel's. He said, slow down. And I want you to notice, first, he cautioned Absalom, is what he did. What I mean by that, notice we're in 2 Samuel 17, and it says in verse 7, and Hushai said unto Absalom, the counsel that Ahithophel hath given is not good at this time. For, said Hushai, thou knowest thy father and his men, that they be mighty men, and they be chafed in their minds as a bear robbed of her whelps in the field, and thy father is a man of war, and will not lodge with the people. Behold, he is hid now in some pit or in some other place, and it will come to pass when some of the men, or some of them, be overthrown at the first, that whosoever heareth it will say, there is a slaughter among the people that follow Absalom. Now, here's what Hushai did first. He cautioned Absalom. I think we could almost say he put a little bit of fear into Absalom. I remember what I said at the beginning, Absalom was an inexperienced leader. You know, it's interesting in the Bible, we don't read of any victories he had before he took the throne. We don't read of any battles. We don't read of him going out and fighting, leading an army. Actually, the opposite is true. Basically, he stole the throne. He talked and he worked his way in. And really, I guess you say he was a politician and he got the office. But he didn't have experience in leading. And so Hushai, basically, I think it was probably easy to get him concerned or worried because he didn't know what he was doing. First, he reminded Absalom of David's power. You know what he said? He said, slow down. Your dad's tough. Your dad's not a pushover like Ahithophel wants you to think he is. Your dad's a proven warrior. You know, you go back to 1 Samuel. Remember the songs they sang about David? He had slain his Saul had slain his thousands, David his 10,000s. David, as a young man, won many victories against the Philistines. As a king, he not only, I guess you'd say, cleared the land of their enemies, but he extended the borders as a warrior. He was a tough man, and all those that were with him were the same way. You see, Hushai is saying, Absalom, these men aren't going to bow down. They're not going to just turn their weapons over so that way you can, you know, have this easy victory. It's going to be a struggle. It's probably going to be a fight. And that's the first thing he cautioned him with. Also, you notice he said that David and his men are chafed in their minds. And then he kind of gives an illustration that he says like a, we find it here, he compares him to a mother bear whose cub's been taken. Now, I've never seen that, and I hope I never have to personally witness that. But that's fury and anger all wrapped into one. And you better watch out. And that's what he tells Absalom here. I imagine he's saying, guess what? Remember, you just took the throne from him. You just stole it. You have just kicked him out of the palace, and Joab and Abishai and all these men that are with them, they're not going to be happy with you. They're not going to just sit there and say, okay, let's have peace. They're going to be furious right now. And so that's the other, I guess, say, warning he gave to him as far as cautioning him. And then the third one is he said they're going to be prepared. You notice he says there in verse, we've read it, but verse 8, or 9, excuse me, he says, behold, he is hidden now in some pit or in some other place. It will come to pass when some of them be overthrown at the first, that whosoever heareth it will say there is a slaughter among the people that follow Absalom. In other words, David is probably preparing right now, Absalom. Your dad is out there. He's a man of war. He's not just shaking and waiting for you to come. He's preparing himself. And if you go out there and he's hiding or he sets a trap and you run into that and your men lose, then guess what? The rebellion could be over even before you start is basically the advice here. In other words, slow down, think things through, and be careful. And then he goes on to tell him why. And this is his challenge next. We see that he's cautioned him. And then he challenged him in verse 10, or excuse me, we'll go down in verse 11. Therefore I counsel that all Israel be generally gathered unto thee, from Dan even to Beersheba, as the sand that is by the sea for multitude, and that thou go to a battle in thine own person. So shall we come upon him in some place where he shall be found. We will light upon him as the dew falleth on the ground. And of him and all the men that are with him, there shall not be left so much as one. Moreover, if he be gotten into a city, then shall all Israel bring ropes to that city, and we will draw it into the river until there be one small stone found there. And so here Hushai now challenges Absalom. First, he challenges him to gather the forces. He says, don't just strike with 12,000. How about you slow down? Now, this would take time. Get the men of Israel together from the north and the south. Let them know and gather the army so you can make a powerful attack. And you can just wipe David out. And eventually, win the war. The other challenge he gave to Absalom was that he challenged him to personally lead the battle himself. You know, Ahithophel wanted to go out and lead it. And here Hushai says, no, you lead these men into battle. You know what I think we have here? I think we have Hushai playing on Absalom's pride a little bit. The Bible tells us he was a very proud man. I mean, when he'd show up, even before he was king, the Bible says he had 50 men run before him to announce his presence. And he'd have horses and all these, extravagant ways of entering. He was a proud man. And I imagine the thought of not only chasing David, conquering David, and becoming the king that, I guess you say, in a very great way was probably appealing to this man. And that's what Hushai did. I think Hushai basically threw these out there and allowed Absalom's imagination to take off. And pretty much it was a good idea. And then basically we find here the thought was that David would be overcome. That you're going to win. This was his advice. You're going to win. David will be overcome, and then you have nothing to worry about. Even he kind of put, I think, was I'll call it a little bit of boasting. If you'll notice at the end of that chat verse there, verse 13. Notice what he says there. He goes, if David be found in a city, all Israel bring ropes to that city, and we'll draw it into the river. Now that was probably not a logical type thing. Have you ever boasted about something or heard someone boast about their power and their abilities? Anybody, we'll take on anything. We can do this, we can do that. And they may not be serious, but it's boasting. That's what Absalom probably wanted to hear. And Hushai says, you know what, he can't find it. Even if he finds a city, your men will be so powerful, you just drag the city into the river and he'll have no chance. You know what, I think he provided some large talk that just boosted the ego of Absalom. And the Bible says Absalom loved this idea. I mean, this is just right up his alley. He gets to be the conquering hero. And in his mind, no doubt, this is some good advice. And it basically called for a strong, delayed attack. Now, before we move on, I want to remind you, Hushai was David's friend at this time, still his friend. He was there in the palace. You go back two chapters previously, he had followed David. David sent him back, said, maybe you can be of more assistance there than you can with me. And what we have is Absalom is being, deceived in a way by one of David's friends sitting there. You know, here's some thoughts, and these are the practical thoughts here before we move on to the next section. First, be careful of counsel. Not all counsel is good counsel. Just because it sounds good doesn't mean it's correct. You know, we have a Bible. This is correct. Read your Bible. Study your Bible. And if someone gives you some advice, make sure it aligns with what God's Word says. You know, anybody's ideas can be good, but if they go opposite of God's word, then you can get yourself in some trouble. And so make sure that it fits with God's word and that you're not going contrary to what God would want. Now, in this case, basically what we have here is you had two counselors. You had Ahithophel and Hushai. They both gave their advice, and Absalom liked the advice of Hushai, even though, to be honest with you, as far as Absalom was concerned, it was poor advice. It really was. He was going to delay. He was going to get his army together. He was going to lead him in battle. He was going to delay. And you know what that would allow? That would allow David to not only retreat, that would allow David to recover from what was going on. It would allow David to gather his men, which, as we'll see in the next chapter, were some very tough men, and who they themselves were ready for battle. And so Absalom missed an opportunity is what he did. You know, as far as Ahithophel, he was probably a very ungodly man from everything we find in scriptures, but he was right as far as his counsel. And notice what happened next, though. I want to draw your attention to this, and we'll move on. Verse 14, and Absalom and all the men of Israel said, the counsel of Hushai the Archite is better than the counsel of Ahithophel. Here's the key right here. For the Lord had appointed to defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel to the intent that the Lord might bring evil upon Absalom. Here's what I want to, before we move to this next section, real quick. The Lord was in control. He was. And he allowed Hushai to not only provide some counsel, but to be protected while doing it. And then the Lord allowed Absalom to accept this, thinking it was a good idea. You know what I think is interesting? Is the Lord didn't come down and say, Absalom, you're going to do this. He allowed Absalom to make his own decisions. But you know, the Lord knew Absalom was a proud man. The Lord knew what kind of decisions he would make based upon the counsel that was there. And so the Lord just work things out so Absalom would go basically the direction he wanted to go, and then the Lord would allow him to walk right into judgment. You know that phrase, you know, give someone enough rope and they'll hang themselves. You know, God often works that way with the leaders of this world. Now, they don't think so. They think they're in control. They think they're in charge of everything. But God is in control. And you know, as believers, we can sit back and know that our God is in control. He may, you know, there may be times where we say, well, I don't know how he's working. But we can be sure he's allowing things to happen that he's going to work through. And that's what happened here. Absalom had taken the throne, and God was allowing that so that way he could bring judgment upon this ungodly young man. Now let's look at the last section here. David preserved. Verses 15 through 29. And we're going to hurry up through this. I wanted to spend more time on that first part because that's where we find the counsel. But verse 15 says, then said Hushai unto Zadok and to Abiathar the priest, thus and thus did Ahithophel counsel Absalom and the elders of Israel, and thus have I counseled. Now therefore send quickly, tell David, saying, lodge not this night in the plains of the wilderness, but speedily pass over, lest the king be swallowed up and all the people that are with him. I want to point something out before we move on, just real quick. We're going to look at this. We see postponed action next. We're going to talk about the important report. There was some urgency here. If you notice, Hushai left, went right away to these two priests, told them the counsel of Ahithophel, his counsel, and then told him to hurry up and tell David. You know what I think? Here's what I think we see in the scriptures. It appears Hushai didn't know right away that Absalom had accepted his advice. Or he was uncertain that Absalom would go that way. So he runs out and he tells the priest. Maybe they asked him to step out and they would make the decision. And we, of course, know the decision. You know, being hindsight's 20/20, we can see and know what's going on. But at the time, Hushai acted by faith. He just ran to these two men, said, hey, here's Ahithophel's advice. I gave him mine. If he goes with Ahithophel's advice, then David's men need to hurry up and get going because he's coming. And so he sends these two men, these two priests, eventually pass the information on. If you'll notice, we're in chapter 17 there. And we've read verse 17, it says there. And verse 18, verse 17. Now Jonathan and Ahimaaz stayed by in Rogel, for they might not be seen to come into the city. And a wench went and told them, and they went and told King David. Nevertheless, a lad saw them and told Absalom. But they went both of them away quickly and came to a man's house in Bahurim, which had a well in his court, whither they went down. The woman took and spread a covering over the well's mouth and spread ground corn thereon, and the thing was not known. And when Absalom's servants came to the woman of the house, they said, where is Ahimaaz and Jonathan? The woman said unto them, they be gone over the brook of water. And when they had sought and could not find them, they returned, it says there, to Jerusalem. So we have them getting this message. I mean, there's some urgency involved. They need to get David this information so he can make a decision, you know, not only protect himself, but also the people. The Bible says that these two men took off real quick. Notice they escaped the danger by the help of this, really a man and woman, this man, whoever this land belonged to. They stopped at his house, and then this woman, whether it was his wife or some type of relation, the Bible says that she helped them by hiding them in this well. and then covered it. I mean, she was a shrewd woman. She covered it to make it look like corn was drying there. And Absalom and his men rode in because they had been given a little bit of a tip that these two men were going to David with some information. So they come in real quick looking for him, and they can't find these men. You know, first thought on this is, this woman, you know, sometimes God will work, and I'll tell you this, there is no responsibility or no job that's small if it's for God. You know, 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether for you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. If God has called you and has given you some abilities or some skills to do something for God, it's not minor, it's not small, it's important. You know, when we read the passage of David and we read this chapter, you know, we often talk about Jonathan and these two priests running. We talk about David, we talk about Hushai. And I don't have time this morning. Someday in the future I may develop a message on this. But how about this woman? We're not even told her name. But had she not been prepared and ready to do what she could, these two men would have been captured, they'd have been caught. Who knows? God raised up a woman at the right time. And if you'll notice, she didn't do anything spectacular as far as she didn't go out and fight the fight herself. She didn't get involved in the battle. She did what she could. I think about the man whose house this was. Same thing. He did what he could. He just opened up his house to these two men. You see, there is no work too small if it's for God. Think about a church. You know, I thank the Lord for those this morning who cleaned the church so it's ready for today. Got the lights on. Open the doors. You see, you don't open the doors, you got the best message ready to preach. The doors aren't open and people can't come in. Nobody's going to hear it. You see, the work of God, there are so many things that people can do to get involved and do God's work. I encourage you just to be faithful in any way God has allowed or any way you're able to work for the Lord. And I'll tell you, no work is too small. And we see this here. This was important. It was needed. These two men were protected. Now, here's the second thought on this, though. She did tell a lie. You know, we can't excuse her of that. She did tell a lie. The Bible says that they went in there and they asked for these two men, and she told them they went across the brook and they're on the other side. You know, the Bible doesn't condone this. The Bible just tells us it happened. We don't find where she was condoned or we don't find that this was good. We just find that's what she did. Now, my thought on this is perhaps there was some fear involved. I mean, she's got Absalom right in front of her and his men. Absalom is already, he's a loose cannon. I mean, he's already taken the throne from David. Ahithophel's a wicked man. Both these men have proven to be murderous men. And I imagine maybe this woman just had a little bit of fear. You know, her faith may have been a little bit weak. And I think we've all been there where our faith has been a little bit weak and we've done some things or said some things that we probably shouldn't have done. That's what happened here. I don't think it was required, though. Had she not said it, those men still wouldn't have been found. God, they were protected. I imagine from everything, they already searched the premises. They couldn't find them. They're getting ready to go. And they were getting ready to leave. So it wasn't required. It was probably a little bit of lack of faith. But once again, we see that God can work even when we make mistakes or bad decisions. Praise God. Amen. I don't know about you, but I've made plenty of bad decisions, plenty of mistakes, and God has still blessed me. Anyway, we find that these two men, once Absalom left, these two men got up. They hurried to David, completed their mission. And as far as these two men are concerned, faithful men. What do you think Absalom would have done to these men had he found them? I don't know. I imagine he probably would have put them to death. If nothing else, prison for sure. These two men were willing to risk their lives to help David and to further God's cause. So that's a blessing when you have people who are dedicated like these two. Now, verses 22 to 29, we see just the final retreat of David here. It says there, and then David arose, all the people that were with him, and they passed over Jordan by the morning light. There lacked not one of them that was not gone over Jordan. And when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed. Now here, let me talk about David first. Then I want to read that passage because I want to make some comments on Ahithophel. David immediately crossed the Jordan River. He got the advice. What we find here are the results, the immediate, I guess, say results or the responses to Absalom's action. First, David, the Bible says he got the information and he made an urgent or quick departure. He hurried. He crossed that river. And I want to point out to you, nobody was left behind. David took everyone with him. He didn't leave anyone. I could just see David probably one of the last men going, making sure everyone's getting across. And nobody deserted either. There were no quitters there with that group. Now, this group was faithful. They were dedicated. They're going to make it to that city. Next chapter, we're going to see this same dedicated group as far as the men would turn around and conquer a large force. This was a faithful group of people. And here's a lesson for us. Size doesn't matter to God. Yes, I pray our church grows, and we should witness so it grows. But you know, you can pack 20,000 people and not be right with God. You can gain a crowd. Anyone can gain a crowd. It's a matter of doing things correct, and God can work through anyone at any time. So here we find this small group is dedicated, they're faithful, and they're going. Now, I want to point out the differences here. This is a real practical chapter. Notice David, throughout this entire time, David's life has been turned upside down. Could you imagine your own child not only getting you out of your position in life, but also looking to hunt you down and destroy you and kill you? I couldn't imagine that. I just couldn't even come to terms with that. That's what David was facing. And he's on the run now. I mean, I imagine he was at the point in life where he thought, you know, things are going to get a little bit easier. You know, you get to that point in life where you've already fought a lot of your battles and you think, all right. And now he's on the run again. He's got to go back out in the wilderness. What I want you to notice before we read this next section, or I want you to think about, is that David, though his life was turned upside down, though things got completely mixed up, David still had faith in God. And so he was able to continue. He looked to God, trusted in God. Notice what happened to this other man. And this is really a sad passage. Notice what took place with Ahithophel. The Bible tells us in verse 23, "And when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, saddled his ass and arose, got him home to his house, to his city, put his household in order, and hanged himself and died, and was buried in the sepulcher of his father." You see an opposite reaction to trials, to difficulties, to hardships with Ahithophel. And I'm going to give you some thoughts on this. Notice, this was all based upon, if you'll see there, the rejection that took place. You see, he was a wise man. He was a respected man. He had a wonderful position, a leader in the nation. And basically, his reputation was tarnished now. Absalom didn't accept his advice. Instead, Absalom went with someone else's advice and rejected his. So his reputation was tarnished. Also, his request was denied. Remember, his request was, "Let me lead these men into battle and we'll get a victory." So his request was denied. He didn't get that. And then thirdly, the results, I think, were certain. He knew. He was a wise man. He knew that if David had time, David would win and eventually come back to the throne. And of course, Ahithophel would probably be seen as a traitor. Who knows how David would handle it. So just on those three thoughts alone, he considered his situation, and the Bible tells us that he took his own life. That is an act of selfishness, first, is what I want to point out. Act of selfishness. He didn't consider anybody else. He didn't consider the nation. He didn't consider his family. I mean, he got his household in order. That's about it. But he didn't consider anybody else. You know what that stems from? Pride. He was a proud man already. And pride drove him to this decision. Later, we're going to see next week that pride is the same thing that brought Absalom down. You see, the Bible warns us concerning pride. We should humble ourselves before God and recognize who God is. Also, suicide, and that's what he did. He committed suicide here. Suicide is not only a selfish act, it's a sinful act. It's the act of murder. You know, Exodus 20 tells us, "Thou shalt not kill." That's for anybody. You know, taking your own life is murder. You are taking your life and you're killing yourself. And so not only is it a selfish act of pride, but it's also a sinful act. You know, I think what we find here is a warning for not only us, but for really everybody. You know, when you began to live for the things of the world, your career, all the things that the world has to offer, and if you happen to be let down and you lose what you've been living for, then you will be devastated. You will be. David was opposite. Yes, I'm sure he enjoyed the throne and enjoyed being king, but when his life was turned upside down, he didn't lose God. Instead, he turned to God. Ahithophel, I don't think he was a godly man. He never turned to God. Instead, we find him just sinking to the lowest despair and ending his life. You know, this morning, I want to encourage you, yield your life to God. Even as believers, we can become discouraged. Yield your life to God. Romans 12 talks about us, you know, yielding our lives as a sacrifice, a living sacrifice unto God. Here's a practical advice for you. If you give your life to God, you serve the Lord. Now, you can have a job, you can have a career, you can even be successful at it. The Bible doesn't tell us otherwise. But if your love is for God and you yield to God, you can lose everything tomorrow. God will still be there. God still has the power to not only lift you back up, but to bless you and to give you everything back again. You see, when you put your sights on God, when troubles or trials come, I think you won't be shaken. Now, you may be discouraged. You may have some difficult times. David definitely was discouraged. But you know what? He didn't get to the point where he thought all was lost because God was still in his life. So keep your eyes on God. I guess as a pastor, I encourage you to look to God. Keep your eyes on God. You know, there's nothing in this world that we can't lose at any moment. Praise God for any blessings you have, but keep your eyes on God and trust in the Lord. Now, Absalom, the Bible tells us, planned to pursue David, and we got 5 minutes, so I'm just going to read this last section here of David finding some relief. It says there in chapter 17, we'll go down to verse 27. It says, "And it came to pass when David was come to Mahanaim, that Shobai the son of Nahash of Rabbah of the children of Ammon, and Machir the son of Amiel of Lodabar, and Barzillai the Gileadite of Rogalim brought beds and basins and earthen vessels and wheat and barley and flour, parched corn, beans," and it gives us a list of things there that they brought for the people. We only have a few minutes, but I'm going to give you some thoughts in closing on this chapter. David is running, David is tired, David is discouraged. David has no idea where the army is behind him, if they're planning to make a quick attack. He's got the advice from Hushai, and now he's going. And you know what God allowed to happen for David? He allowed three men to become a blessing to him. Have you ever had that where you're just discouraged, and next thing you know, someone calls you out of the blue, or you get a letter or an email or something, and you think, wow, I needed that. I needed someone to talk to me. Don't be surprised we get to heaven and we find out that God had placed you on their heart for whatever reason to encourage you. These three men, at the risk of their lives, obviously, went to David with all these supplies. I mean, things that they needed, all the food and the beds and everything they would require to give them strength and to help them out. I could just imagine the excitement that the people that were with David had when they saw these men coming with all these materials. They may have thought, we're all alone, we've got to hurry up, and here these three men come. And as far as these three men, you know, the Bible tells us one was Shobai of Ramah, him and these other two. I guess just one thought on them is they, once again, did what they could. We don't read anywhere where these three men joined the battle or the fight. Actually, one of them was older in age, Barzillai. But these three men evidently had some possessions that they could share with David. You see, they did what they could. They might not have been able to lead an attack, but they could sure help those that were able to go out and fight with food and everything else. You know, it comes back to, once again, in this chapter, we just see people doing what they can to get involved. You know, I think of just serving the Lord in general. You know, nobody is called to do everything, not even pastors. You know, one pastor can only pastor one church. There's thousands of people, not only in this city, but also you think about the nation and the world. That's why we work for the Lord where we are, and we're faithful. Whether it's teaching a class, whether it's cleaning the church, whether it's driving a bus and picking up people, whatever it is, we just faithful with the abilities God has given us and doing it for God's glory, and God will bless and God will provide. You know, this chapter, David, when I read this chapter, I always get encouraged because I see David pretty much, I don't know if he's at his lowest, but he's definitely struggling, and God provides friends who help him as far as Hushai, help him as far as his counsel, help him there, and then also friends who give him things. You see, God will provide our needs. The Bible tells us that in Philippians 4, he'll provide our needs. Sometimes he'll do it in mysterious ways or from unlikely sources, but God will provide and God will bless. We just need to be faithful, like David, be faithful. We're going to close with a word of prayer. Next week we'll look at the next chapter, and the next chapter is when the battle takes place. Absalom and his men have pretty much gotten themselves ready. And we're going to see where God not only blesses David, but we're going to look at the chapter and see what happens between Absalom and Joab. So encourage.